All right, everybody, welcome to this week's podcast of Super Freak. I am your host, Talia. I have felt deeply fatigued lately, and there's been so much that has happened the last 2 weeks that I needed to decompress from that before I made this episode, which is going to be all about what happened in Rome and the unraveling of that and what came through as a result and what is coming, the connection to the Epstein files and more. We'll see how far I get through what I want to talk about today. Most of it coming through kind of on the, like, on the cuff, on the riff, like I was in a bath today and this is what's coming in. So finally, I had been waiting for some, let's say, dots to connect for me that would give me some relief around why I feel so unbelievably soul tired, not physical tired. There's also this happening, but like a soul level fatigue. And I'm going to jump right in now and we'll start talking about that. And then I'm just going to share the story of how Rome even came about and what the actual process looked like for me, what came up, and what has come through since. So I'm going to preface this by saying most of you know now that I've talked about the two succinct nervous systems being split. Not two earths, okay, two nervous systems, how I see them. Nervous systems that can sync up with an organic architecture that's in a completely new hosting system that's engineered completely different, that is dynamic, responsive, spontaneously reorganizing, and not memory bound. This is very critical. The other synthetic architecture, this system, is what you're experiencing. Some of you are witnessing, can see now. Control, fear, collapse, hierarchy, no real autonomy over your body, and very mammalian-based, dense, lower vibrational experience. These two realities are incredibly obvious to anyone who has been doing any type of awakening work, okay? Collapsing internal recursion, pattern recognition. If you're listening to this podcast, you are well on your way, my friend. So I want to congratulate you on that. It is not easy work. It can feel very, very lonely, especially when you're surrounded by loved ones and or your partner and or you're waking up to a life you created when you were more asleep and you're looking around going, holy shit, how do I navigate this and bring everybody I love along with me kind of thing. So that takes me to this next point of these kind of waves of volunteers that have come in. I don't actually see it like that. I know Dolores Cannon has, I think, mentioned this before, but I don't subscribe to this because it is an incomplete picture. There are not waves per se. There are those who have a very deep embedded imprintation agreement with Earth, the consciousness of Gaia, and with Pure Source. And that has always been to evolve consciousness, okay? To be a part of moving humanity more towards personal sovereignty. It's a very simple contract, right? Very simple agreement. You have the capacity, you have the coherence, you have the coding, okay? You've got certainly the memory, the agreement, you have the consciousness, and now you have the compatibility kind of constantly throughout these multiple lifetimes, whether or not you've been incarnated in a physical form or it's an imprinted memory in a different timeline or dimension, you have agreed to come and help humanity evolve. Very simple agreement. Now, over a very, very, very long time, this has come with so much stuff. Death, exile, visibility, execution, violence, you name it. And I talked about this on my Substack where I have cleared a very comprehensive performative pattern that has to do with control, which I did not realize until I went to the Vatican. So it's like kind of all teeing itself up perfectly. But those who have been on this journey for a long time and you feel soul tired, that is not an accident. This is your retirement party. We are all being given the opportunity to, like, we have well above and beyond completed our mission. This is what I've just been shown. I thought even as much as like a day ago, I was like, okay, I'm going to be like, if you want me to help lead, then, you know, help me do that, essentially, source, highest self. And it came and struck me so fast that it was like, no. The souls who are incarnating the way that they've been incarnating is retiring. The teacher, the guru, the apex influencer, all of this is ending. The sovereign architecture, the organic architecture, is that we are now in a place where humanity is responsible. Okay? So I've said this before when I tuned into the being known as Yeshua or Jesus or a name that I can't say because it's like in some like Arabic kind of dialect. But the 33 is a completion number. That's when apparently this soul moved from the physical to the non-physical and showed a rebirth and death cycle. So we're in that same completion cycle last year. And I said in the beginning part of the 2026 podcast, we're moving to a phase lock and that these two systems are going to be created. So when 2000 plus years ago, the rules, okay, the parameters that we had to operate in, the us being those who have made these agreements to help consciousness rise, right? And that somehow we have been branded that our purpose has been inevitably and inextricably wrapped around helping humanity evolve to be of service, to have these service contracts, things like that. Humanity could not evolve when we go one, we go all kind of thing. We couldn't evolve and move into a completely different engineered reality, whether it be a 5D or a D7 or a D9, okay? We couldn't even move into a much, even a D4. We couldn't move into a higher dimensional order unless we all went together. Aha. So this is the baton that is being passed. The burden, okay? The absolute burden of feeling like we have to carry the weight of humanity evolving is ending. And the reorganization of our bodies at a cellular level is what's causing the fatigue because it quite literally is an emptying out, which I've also talked about on the Substack, on my Substack and in engineered reality and coherence is a new currency, etc. So please go check those out. And you can listen to them on VoiceOver, which is almost like a podcast in itself. So I say all of that because in the Pattern Lab, we're going to be working on the exile wound. It's extremely in-depth. It's very mechanical, and it's going to be a lot of fun. So I look forward to that in a couple of weeks. The Field Hub, we're going to be talking more about control and perfectionism and this baseline pattern that is getting eradicated right now out of the collective, which is where I'll kind of bring in Rome now. So just to button that kind of awakened deeply or a star seed or however you want to identify yourself. I don't identify myself like that anymore. I just look at myself as a soul remembering and my consciousness gets stationed in different not hierarchical orders, but different expansions of itself. And it's not really dimensions anymore. That's just how this reality is structured. I just zoom out and I get more information. The more I hold paradox, the more I am in a a reorganizing field that is spontaneous. New information presents itself. It is all about the body. So for me, the more embodied I am, the more information I can track and pull down, the more I can metabolize it, the faster that sequence happens, the less I detox, and generally the happier I am. Like, I'm just more present. So for me, it's about conduction, presence, and embodiment. But I say all of that because if you've been feeling the burden of wanting to know what your purpose is and feeling like you want to have a bigger impact, chances are you're feeling the weight of this collective collapsing of a pattern around burden of humanity evolving and then feeling like you have to carry that in some way, which is all connected to what happened in Rome. So how did Rome become even a thing? So I had been spending my time in the southern part of the Mediterranean on some islands for a little over 3 months. And initially, like, kind of none of my paperwork was really working out for no reason, really, other than it was just being the bureaucracy was being difficult for no reason, for the sake of being difficult. So clearly I knew that it wasn't the place for me, but I was looking at different routes to get me kind of back to the West Coast to reset and regroup for some personal family reasons and for a reset for myself. I just kind of knew when I started looking at Milan or Rome, because these are major hubs, that Rome was the one I needed to go to. So fine. So I go there and I don't even know what I'm really doing. I just think that I'm going to visit a family member there and I am going to go see some things. I hadn't been back there in a while. Just regroup for 3 days before a very long flight. And I didn't even know I was going to go to the Vatican until I got there. So I went to the Basilica first day and I gridded the entire outside, and I had now mind you, I had so much heat running through my body, and it was cold and rainy outside. I couldn't have I just can't explain. It felt like I was in a red light therapy sauna where you create so much internal heat that your body is beading, just beads in sweat. That's what was happening throughout this walk to the Basilica and Vatican City and the gritting outside of it, and then the walk towards Mary's, this monument I had to go for Mary, and then I came back and did the fountain and then the Pantheon. So I did this huge loop and didn't think anything of it. I was like, okay, well, whoopee. I gritted the outside. I had to go around the entire thing. There's a huge obelisk. I think that's how you say it. Egyptian, of course, which is very important, because these are all over as a symbol, kind of all over the world. Paris, DC, London City, Vatican City. These huge control towers that kind of run the artificial system, the synthetic system. So I walk all around it, fine, burn, 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 fine. And then the next day I go back and I have to go inside. So I go inside and grid the inside, including the dome. Now, what happened inside of that, and I stood right in front where the Pope comes out, immediately this huge packet of information gets dropped. And I just see myself going entirely inside the Vatican to its core, as far as I could possibly go with this like light staff. I mean, take this with a grain of salt, y'all. I didn't even, surprise me too. And then I went down as far as I could, but I was invisible. I was undetectable. It was, again, like I was operating outside of the speed of light with a completely different level of physics. And then immediately I saw myself popped out, watching the entire grid line underneath the Vatican light up, and it went through the entire last 6 months of everywhere I had been, including Egypt, which has been so inverted and hijacked that it was explicitly why I couldn't go there at the time I thought I needed to go there. Now I can go back and do whatever I need to if I'm signaled to go back there. But whatever I needed to handle got handled remotely. I did this huge removal. I talked about it on a last podcast. And I didn't have to be in that destruction, in that inverted field, to be able to prime it for what this was. So it was a huge crystalline Christed, however you want to talk about it, but it was essentially a 5 to 7D grid line blueprint retrieval. And I saw exactly how all of this happened, all the rituals. It was almost an instant knowing where there was a hall of souls, and there was a lot of child souls that were there. They got released, liberated the child souls, which started to unravel this enormous fucking pattern around hierarchical control and perfectionism. And again, I'm sweating this entire time. Not because I'm nervous, but because I am just burning radiation. And for those who want to know what radiation is from a quantum psychosomatic perspective, it's consciousness. So I had been streaming and bringing in a lot of conduction to be able to burn this level of bullshit that was moving through my field, not through me per se, but what I was actually transmuting through transduction. And if most of you guys know that I talk about solar-coded nervous systems versus plasma-based nervous systems. Just to give you a reminder, let me know if you guys want a podcast on that, but plasma-based are extremely empathic, very, very, very body sensed, body felt. You know who you are. The senses are on fleek. You normally have a non-neurotypical way that you perceive reality. A lot of the new consciousness babies that are coming in are plasma based. You guys are the moon, very internal. Okay. You're very, very reflective. You process things by feeling them so, so deeply that your shadow is not to collapse inside the felt sense. Solar coded is very, very high intellectual tracking, very, very high levels of conduction, multiple streams coming in. We're the restorers of like law order, cosmic order. We have a big true sword. We're usually very cynical. We question a lot. We don't trust easily. And our bodies take a little bit more time to come online. We're the sun. Okay. So you have the sun and the moon. That's why usually solar coded people are around plasmas, and plasmas love to be around solars because you get the yin and the yang, and hence you have the balance. So a third template that's coming online is the ability to adapt. And this is what I saw when I was in the med that was happening with all this radiation I was pulling through my body, which was this third template that's coming online, which is more crystalline. Crystalline has the ability to adapt, but where you have reptilian consciousness, which is literally just viral, not self-referential, has no source fractal consciousness, has to consume off energy, can shapeshift through form like the agents in the Matrix. Crystalline can shift nervous systems for adaptability. So it is literally being able to do the same technology with more efficiency, source-based. So like Neo being able to go and dive into the agent and completely dissolve it, that would be the adaptability I'm talking about, where you just have a completely different way you navigate the world, a completely different way that you see it. Not only can you high conduct, but you also can feel, but that takes a level of practice. I'm still learning this myself. And so, right. So back to the conduction. I could feel the level of conduction. Like, I'm short of breath talking about it. Huh. Okay. Could feel that level of conduction moving through my body as I was walking the dome and going all the way up to the top. So the grid line comes up, it moves all the way to Egypt, all the way, just almost through my memory. Now, I thought I was going to do all of this for like my own family line, right? Hence, much of the burden of the black sheep and the identified patient and those who have just carried a lot of painful memory for the family line. You guys are waking up and being responsible for it, whatever. This is what's leading. So this is what's caused me to feel so soul tired kind of all the time, like a lot. Not, I wouldn't say all the time, but it's like, it's this murmuration that's in the background. It's just this kind of hum of movement that seems to be kind of, I'm always tethered to this memory bound template, memory bound architecture. So it was almost like a snap where instantly that just relieved, like kind of a parachute leaving. And I saw memory bound and then presence bound nervous systems being created. You cannot have memory with this level of adaptability. You can. There's going to be like, there's a bridge, right? If you look at these two auric systems, these two matrices being created, imagine it like a dumbbell, and then you've got a bridge between. All the souls that want to wake up are going to be in the middle. You guys are going to be very held. We're all going to be fine no matter where we are as we kind of start moving towards this reinforced hexagonal type of technology, this organic, okay, that will be locked into place by 2030, 35. It's already phase locked, but meaning like most of us will be the old reality. It'd be so synthetic and artificial. It won't even hit your field. You'll be aware of it, but it won't even hit your field. It's what I've been felt, seen, known, shown. So in short, I saw the darkness of the Vatican. I saw exactly how I saw all of it, like the Hall of Souls, the torture rooms. I saw what's being held there, the information of reality, the mechanics and the architecture of how entire systems are created, systemic collapse, the connection of operations, like with the Epstein files. Like Epstein was just it was an operation, not even a psychological operation. It was a military operation. And there is, so now if I'll get into it, but there's a podcast I did on transhumanism that got me super flagged on YouTube. It was another strike, like another visibility wound, another exile. Like I can't talk about this stuff because it's going to lead to this, this, and this, which has obviously led to a lot of frustration, but also protection because there's ways that I can help without having to be visible. So I saw all of this. There was an entire layer of density that was underneath that it was a liberation of souls, and I was completely undetectable. And the grid just came back online almost instantly. But they didn't know about it, and they couldn't do anything about it. Meaning they, this Draco consciousness, or a virus, however you want to say it, they couldn't reverse it. They couldn't stop it. They couldn't reverse it. And because there's been so much intention with wanting to dismantle control and power, it was easy. Now, I don't know what that even means. This is just, couldn't even make it up if I tried. This is just what came in very, very succinctly. And then I spent very long time on a plane seeing you, a handful of you in Los Angeles, moving right into this dystopian Southern California reality, right into the amplification of my family with my father getting very ill instantly, like within an hour in the ER. Boom. And a lot of the control and sacrifice patterns have come from that, from the paternal line, which I've talked about before in early podcasts. So let's get into some of the mechanics, because I asked specifically, like, why does torture and self-sacrifice happen? Not we choose this for ourselves, but why is this actually happening? And so because the third dimension, okay, D3 is so polarized, we have to experience this deep level of extreme in order to remember who we are. Now, it's not even emotional. It is recursive pain at extreme intensity, forces kind of this physical instantiation, because the nervous system is the only system capable of collapsing a loop. So this is why it's body-based, right? We are here to embody and remember who we are. When a pattern is written, a template is built. And then the engineering of that is a substrate, which is just a way to hold dimension, okay? A way to hold intelligence or information or data within a dimension. So a substrate is created, then it gets reinforced through ritual. And the more you pay attention to something or you put more emotional energy into it, the more that recursive pattern bifurcates and splits. Money, religion, control, attention. So the only power that this Draco consciousness, dark viral consciousness has is to hijack your attention and your perception and create such good propaganda and narrative and meaning making around it to bog down your nervous system and hijack the body. So the recursion itself isn't the problem. Recursion is just the pattern replaying through the stack, okay, the signal stack. The issue is that at extreme intensity, the loop has accumulated enough charge that it can no longer be resolved at the cognitive or emotional layer alone. Those layers process signal. They don't discharge it at the substrate level, at the origin level. They downstream from the body. They don't upstream. This is why insight is not enough, okay? You have to get to the dimensional substrate layer. And if you don't know what that means, it's okay. For those of you who are in, let's say, reflective work or multidimensional work, if you're not getting to the substrate layer, you need to start working on your conduction and your capacity to be able to handle more light in the body without leaving it, okay? You need to be able to hold your signal at very, very high levels of voltage to be able to go to a substrate layer. And then once you go to a substrate layer, you can go to substrates, which means stacks. You can start collapsing big, big stacks of comprehensive pattern. And this is where it gets very exciting, because again, the more that you can collapse, the less memory you're holding, you don't have to hold that much weight, the lighter you are, etc. So it becomes necessary in the physical world, because let's just go through a handful of how this showed up and what was presented to me. So the body is the collapse site. So in quantum psychosomatics, I position the nervous system as the storage medium for unresolved frequency. So when a recursive loop, runs long enough at high enough intensity, it's essentially a standing wave. It has embedded itself into the tissue level architecture, the fascia. So again, conceptual insight will not touch it. You cannot get in there with insight alone. The body has to be the location of resolution, because the body is where the pattern is held, not just where it's felt. Frequency, field, form. You move this information at frequency, okay? The field reorganizes around you. You pull it through the body. Frequency, field, form. The second would be the physical experience creates the irreversibility. So this is the key distinction. The field can hold a pattern indefinitely. It has no urgency, no depletion signal. It doesn't give a shit. The pattern, the field will hold a pattern for however long it can hold it. It has infinite levels of storage. You do not have to pay Apple $9.99 a month to hold this level of shit in the body. This is why you will run out of runway. You have to choose your pain, choose your hard, because the body doesn't hold the score, it holds the code. Okay, the field holds the code, the body holds the information that code is producing, and you will eventually run out of runway. But the field has infinite levels of storage. So extreme recursive pain in the physical world creates a rupture point eventually. I've seen this with my father. A moment where the system literally cannot sustain the loop anymore. And so you just get really sick. And that forced discontinuity is what makes collapse possible. So at the end, you'll create a collapse point. You'll get really sick. And through that illness, you will discharge. But who wants to get that sick in order to discharge? I don't. I used to have to do that. I don't want to do that anymore. No way. So the body imposes limits, the field doesn't. So reality testing breaks the recursion's self-referentiality. So what do I mean by that? Right now, we're constantly being reality tested. So a recursive loop, by definition, validates itself, right? If you're in the field hub or the lab, I'm going to be talking a lot more about pattern loops and feedback loops, and that they are programs designed to fulfill and validate themselves. It uses, okay, these patterns use their own signal as proof. Okay, the physical world and contact with the physical world is the only input that arrives from outside the loop's logic. So what I mean by that is the brain is hardwired to prove itself right. That's why you have to catch it. You have to catch the narrative and literally observe it and go, that is not me. That is 100% not me. And then move into contrary action. You break the loop, you change the screen, and then information reorganizes. And that's how you continue to dismantle this stuff, until you can hold more voltage in the body, which requires you to trust your body implicitly. You have to do that. You guys are in this together. So it's all data, and you're constantly in a reality testing recursion, right? You're in this reality testing feedback loop. Where is my energy? Go out into the world and see how people treat you. Okay, at extreme levels of recursion, the physical events will function as a signal and interruption. That's why I'm constantly telling you guys to change the screen, go out for a walk, like listen to something else, break your habitual routine, break it. And you're going to see what you can metabolize and what will fold back into itself. What you can metabolize and transmute, and what's going to kind of recycle itself in order for you to kind of understand the assignment. So somatic encoding requires somatic decoding. If the original wound, okay, we're just talking about pattern, let's say sacrifice and control. If the original wound was encoded during a physical threat or physical developmental environment, like as we were kids, which most foundational patterns are, then the nervous system maps resolution to the physical event. It's not symbolic, it's just the system learned to expect resolution to feel like something in the body, even if it was extreme pain. So again, the cognitive reframing doesn't match the file format. And that's where the incongruence comes. That's why a lot of mental-based practices end up falling short. They're just workarounds and bypass. So in short, the extreme version of recursion pain needing physical instantiation is not some type of like punishment, and it's not a pattern to take personal. It's the system demanding resolution in the same substrate where the pattern was written, in the same origin hosting dimension where the pattern was written. Okay, now, why does this shit happen to kids? When I instantly, again, it was a fragment, like a little split second of time, releasing this recursive, like I kind of saw as these souls of children. And there were like, this is going to be graphic. I'll try not to make a graphic. I'll just show you instantly kind of what I saw. But it is an inverted reality. So it was almost like BDSM for young, very, very, very young souls. And that what I saw was the destabilization of the recursive template of hierarchical control and torture dissolved. And like I said, I had this huge, huge, huge staff in my hand and I went down with it. And then I was untraceable. It was a different level of radiation. All of it dissolved, and I got an instant download packet of exactly how the darkness works. And so whenever I see you guys in session and you're running some shit, I am fearless right now. I will fucking remove anything. I don't give a shit. And I am not immune to being infiltrated by any means. I just have zero fear with being able to piece my shit back together like Frankenstein. And I'm like, I will never die. You cannot break me. I'm a sovereign soul. I will figure out a way to clean myself up and move on to the next. So just know that about yourself. I am not immune, but I also know who I am in that way and will recalibrate, clean up, and move on. So there was a destabilization completely of this recursive template of hierarchy control. So what's happening right now, fast forward, besides me being so tired, not just soul tired and having completely restless sleep, but I'm going to bring this all up to present time. Restless sleep, radiation running through my body to the point where I set off the radiation map in the airport in Rome. The heat map was nuts. And I was looking at it at very specific parts of like my arms and my legs and my torso. And I was like, wait, what? I should have taken a picture of it, but my phone was in the security. So I went back through it again, set it off again, and I declined the pat down and everything was fine. And I moved right on. Now, mind you, I had been well past my visa allotment. I was completely past it. And I got in to Rome with no problems. And I left with no problems. So when the assignment is assigned, shit will open up. So that is something else that I learned. But right now what's happening is the end of hierarchical control. Perfection, performance, and understanding how control is showing up in your life is just something to focus on. So if you've taken the Frequency Finder quiz, which hundreds of you have at this point, the main answer right now is sacrificing control patterns. The second one is lack. And they're absolutely connected. So how is control showing up in your life? And I'm talking about what you think you want to create through manifestation, control pattern. Vision board, control pattern. But everything comes down to performance. Whatever is happening online right now, performance. People living two lives, how they show up in person and then how they show up online. Inauthentic, a total split. You're going to start seeing and questioning what is real versus what isn't real. So the teacher, the guru, the apex power source is becoming incompatible now. All the teachers, I mean, look at what's happening right now with how much Deepak Chopra was listed and mentioned in the Epstein file, like over 3,000 times. What? What? just enter me not surprised, but that is a lot of times. So all the teachers and all the healers, you're going to see a lot of false light rising to the surface, just bullshit. And anyone who feels like they've been holding it together for the collective, you guys can pass the burden of humanity onto the collective now. We are self-referential. We do not have to carry that anymore. We're moving away from being memory bound to being presence bound beings. So it's almost like I'm a retired helper at this point. And in the bath this morning, it was like, you're putting the burden on yourself to feel like this because that has been the agreement, but that is literally what has ended. So if you didn't have the burden of humanity and you didn't feel like you had to do X, Y, Z or have purpose or this defined you or this title, whatever, 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 how would you experience your being in your day-to-day life? And I just kind of soaked with that for a minute. So it's not up to us anymore to kind of lead, okay? A lot of the contracts, let's say those have been completed. Like I have completed the assignment that I came here to do, and I will continue to help on the back end and make podcasts and do whatever. I mean, we'll see how far this goes, right? But I will help. I will show up because I can and I want to. This is all choice now. And that choice will be supported. And the new architecture has a huge home for all of us. And there will be different ways that I will be assisting. I have not been shown those, but there will be very different ways that I will be assisting and making new agreements. Let's just put it that way. So the burden is now being passed collectively and distributed to those who are moving through memory. And they're going to have to carry the weight of that. It is no longer this heavy epigenetic, let's say, I don't even know the word for it, just burden. You don't have to carry the storage facility for the line anymore. That geometry is being dismantled and reconstructed. You guys are all moving through that now. Control and hierarchy control and perfectionism is moving out of the collective. And those who are too fearful, controlled, or controlling will have to be responsible and accountable for their stuff. It doesn't have to fall on the lightest soul who had the hardest trauma and memory in the family line. Yes, you are the latest rendition of your collective family lineages. You have also been moving through that shit for a very, very, very long time. So we're going to get some help now from the collective, which is this collapse of this collective and comprehensive collapse of data. So it's going to make this shit a little bit easier for you. And you'll be able to continue to hold more conduction, more energy, more transmutation of the things that aren't you. And so you can hold more of the potential that you are. And then what you can create from there will be very exciting. So, and I'm right there with you. I don't know what this will look like and what this won't. So what's going on with the Epstein files? I'm going to touch on this. What's going on with the Epstein files as an operation and why the elites go after children? This is where it may be hard to hear, but I talked about this specifically in the transhumanism podcast. But children have very, very, very high levels of conduction. There is also variations of chemical. They're getting, this adrenochrome. Okay, this is very, very, very high levels of adrenaline. And because this virus has no self-referential capacity, it is completely void. They have no heart. It is completely void. Okay, they are offline. In this area, it is an empty cavity. They have no empathy. It is psychopathic. Okay, so a consciousness, any kind of consciousness, no matter how much they hate somebody, if they're celebrating somebody else getting tortured and dying and being killed for having a non-similar logic, that is a psychopathic trait. So a lot of that coming up into the field right now, the polarity, these files coming in right now are a nervous system aggravator, but they also mirror something. They mirror to me the control and the hierarchy control and coercion and blackmail being used for power, and how it's very easy to manipulate people to get them what you want to do when you start understanding their core wounds. And children have a lot of innocence. That innocence holds a lot of energy, a lot of potent energy. And the potency of that, is what this elite, or delete rather, we need to delete this hierarchy level of control, is what feeds the beast, basically. And like with anything, that beastly worship, if you will, or the ritualistic worship, or the hunger and the need for more, which is what's driving that recursion, will stop at nothing. It doesn't care. And again, because that pattern at the substrate it was created will do anything to fulfill itself, that will run through a family line. And there has to be agreement. Like anytime you go in and confess, you're maintaining the shame loop. Confession is a shame loop. And that feeds the hierarchy of control, and that you have an arbiter between you and God, which is a complete and total lie. So they bind children, okay, to control the body, because you want to control the nervous system. So restraint forces like a freeze submit state. It collapses agency and it makes compliance more likely. Now look at where that's happening with adults. So this learned helplessness is another way that they bind children, they bind people, okay? Repeated experience of no escape trains the brain to stop attempting resistance. So this is a conditioning protocol kind of that moves into like ritualism. So the attachment hijack and trauma bonding, this happens even if you're not in a sacrifice pattern to the degree that we're seeing it with the Epstein files, is attachment hijack and trauma bonding. This is also happening just in abuse in general. So I'm going to talk about blanket abuse and where this is happening with adults right now. So if you're alternating fear with occasional relief and care, that can fuse to a child's attachment system to the abuser. So confusion becomes the glue. This is why women who are in narcissistic relationships end up actually getting relief. The nervous system gets relief through the abuse because it's been conditioned through control of the body. So the group power dynamic, restraint is the theater, and it signals hierarchy. So there's loyalty tests, there's like kind of shared complicity, and this creates the mutual blackmail. And then you have disassociation as a weapon. So overwhelm kind of pushes the mind towards disassociation. You have a fragmentation of the psyche, and it fragments memory and then reduces like coherent testimony later. So you're breaking identity, and the boundaries become meaningless, and then you essentially become property. And especially with a certain type of abuse, meaning sodomy, that entry point looks like the Star of Solomon, which is not an accident. And then the amount of force or whatever has happened, that energy is almost like a forced kundalini awakening, but not. It releases a level of energy. So I look at this as, I don't know if you guys know this, but in perfume, musk is, unless it's a synthetic musk, which at this point they kind of all are, but a lot of early perfumes were the torture of animals to take musk or there's another one, ambergris, which came from whales, and it is like a sack that is inside deer. and then they'll spray it. They'd capture the spray, and then they would use it in perfumes. It's very similar. It's just a level of, and this is even happening now. Like science, experimentation, what's been happening for chimps for a very, very long time, studying spiders for web making. These animals have to be live so they can get real feedback. But what happens with that level of force is the energy breaks the psyche and it creates an amniotic sac around the amygdala, which is memory loss. And it breaks the psyche into something called altars, which is exactly what you bow down to in a church. And those altars have fragmented aspects of personalities. And those personalities, which has been studied for a very, very long time. Okay, this is just Project Mockingbird, Project Stargate, Project Bluebeam, you name it. And now I'm talking about with Stargate being remote viewing and how they were finding abuse sites. But Mockingbird CIA projects have safe words and then you have trigger words. And there were very famous hypnotherapists that were getting people who were very meaning, you know, very good stand-up citizens to do very terrible things based on a level of hypnosis. This is mass formation hypnosis, and this happens through non-ritualistic abuse and ritualistic abuse. So it creates these altars, which is the MKUltra program, basically, and this is what you see with personalities right now in Hollywood. Hollywood is one big ritual, and it's an energetic distraction mechanism. And before it became so dark, it was just a military operation, and it has recursed. You're seeing the level of recursion that has happened over decades of how bad it's gotten and more in our faces. This has always been happening. It just has been happening so below the surface. And our, you know, for the most part, America, at least the West, was this new frontier, and the lives were good. It was the gold rush. It was the industrial age. It was, you know, steel and coal, and we were progressing. And then it was big ad, you know, advertising, and then it was propaganda. And then propaganda came out, and everything became a story, and meaning making went through the roof. But all of this is a matter of breaking identity. So one personality will be triggered to through substance, either through substance or a safe word, through hypnosis, through NLP, these, you know, ritualistic processes of voice cadence and saying very specific things can get very, very decent people to do very terrible things. But through children specifically, because their brains are in a constant state of theta, they're very malleable. So they start to associate abuse with love, and people do this too. It's just more of emotional imprint because youth is innocent. And they use the innocence of that, the voltage of the innocence, to propel their very dark agenda and feed the beast kind of thing. So once you have a safe word and you have the combination of substance, and then you've got a buyer, okay, you've got a desire and a need for it. Here you have this recursion that has become an auric field that has become its own host and has become something that's been very, very hard to witness as humanity has bought into all of this. And we kind of feel so helpless inside of all of this. But the fastest way to move through that and not see that is to reconcile all of this shit within ourselves and let go of control and fear and awaken and change our perspective and reclaim our bodies and build our atrophy muscle. So one personality will come in through a trigger to like get the performance done, and then the other one will move up as the dominant personality that doesn't remember. So you saw a lot of that, and then through some type of recall or collective trigger, that memory gets pulled up, and it is catastrophic. Like Justin Bieber, you're seeing this with Michael Jackson, or like Michael Jackson basically got MKUltra. You saw it with Kanye, you saw it with Britney, you saw it with Chester. Anyone who was talking about what was happening in Hollywood, they basically just got offed. And so this was all, there are more details. I do not have to go into them now, but I saw all of this almost in this, like, a spark of a second, and then had to metabolize it basically. But what happened for me is, like, a lot of the emotional imprintation and the affect got pulled off of me. Like, I almost saw it pulled off. And I was prepared for it with all of the work that I had done before with my own clearing and seeing a lot of the old, my own abuse that I had gone through in multiple lifetimes, including this one. I didn't have the emotional imprintation, so I couldn't collapse into the emotion. It was very, very, very important that my nervous system ran so much heat. My body ran so much heat that my attention was to my body, so the information could enter without me collapsing into the emotion of it. And then it wasn't until later that I just would have these moments where my stomach would just in a knot, or my chest would brace, and I had, you know, and continued to process that. Now the Epstein files are basically just one big exposure and validation to what many of us have known all along. You're seeing the breakdown of control and hierarchical systems and systemic collapse in real time. So yes, it is very exciting to witness evolution and humanity evolving. It's extremely painful to witness it, though, when it's coming at this level of recursion and polarity. So what else do I want to say about that? I think I may end it there. Actually, okay, so this is interesting because I'm going to end it with this. I'm going to pull up something that I was reminded of a couple of days ago. So November 17th, 2024, like the energy of revelations was very, very, very present. And I was kind of, I won't get into the details of it, but I was told that if you want to know what's going on with humanity, look at revelations. And I was like, okay, well, I'm not ever told to look in the Bible, but thanks so much. Really good talk and see ya, kind of thing. So I looked that, I remember I wrote it down, and I don't know if I've talked about this. I think I might've done a podcast on it, but, or I might've done a Field Hub call on it in the beginning of 25, something like that. But here is what November 17th, 2024, here's what I was told. The energy of revelation is very much present in the collective right now. Cycles closing, illusions dissolving, and deeper truths surfacing. These are the key themes that you'll want to look at. The Four Horsemen, Revelation 6, Forces of Unraveling. First, the White Horse, which is conquest, symbolizes the rise of new belief systems, movements, and AI spiritual deception. Two, the Red Horse, war, not just physical war, but also the battle for sovereignty, both internal and external. Third, Black Horse, famine, scarcity programming, energetic depletion, and economic shifts. And then fourth, the Pale Horse, which is death, endings, ego death, or collective dark nights of the soul. Second one, the second theme, the Woman and the Dragon, Revelation 12, birth of a new consciousness. A woman in labor is being attacked by a dragon. This symbolizes the birth pains of awakening, where forces of suppression try to prevent expansion, the rise of the divine feminine and the attempts to control or distort her, which I've done a workshop on, and that's available in the Field Hub, in the Pattern Lab for everybody who joins the Pattern Lab. They're all included. The third is the battle between old paradigms and new timelines. Will the new creation survive? Third is the mark and the beast. Revelation 13, systems of control. The beast is seen as oppressive global systems, which could symbolize technocratic control, centralized power structures. The mark of the beast, 666, which is often interpreted as a literal mark, but also represents enslavement to the material world. It's an inversion of the natural order and distortion of true sovereignty. I see this a little bit differently. I think this is a hijack of 666 as an inversion of the synthetic order. And what I mean by that is 666 is a carbon-based organic reality. 661 is silicone-based reality. So to me, the mark of the beast is it means not allowing ourselves, the body, to be taken over by a synthetic architecture is how I look at the mark of the beast. So really, it's an inverted six. 666 is hexagonal. Anytime you add on to a 666 and you distort that, it's going to be the inverted, like a four, for example, that's a box. Okay. And then you make the cube and you have the cube. Anything that gets cubed is an inversion. It's a square matrix. You remember, you want hexagonal or spheres. This is spiral technology, Fibonacci technology. So, four, the fall of Babylon, which is Revelation 18. This is the collapse of corrupt systems. Babylon represents the false world order built on manipulation, greed, and control. It collapses. Its collapse suggests the fall of illusion-based structures, so governments, financial systems, and personal belief systems. The exposure of corruption and mass awakening, a reminder that true power is not external, but internal. And then number five, the New Jerusalem, which I find interesting because I've said before on a podcast again that these areas, like a block away from each other down the street, are three completely different auric fields of belief systems. Jerusalem is a portal for the complete and total control of energy in systems. So Revelation 21 is ascension and higher realms. So essentially you have to deconstruct these areas, which is always why there's so much war, in order to dismantle the template, to anchor in the new reality. So after destruction comes restoration, a new earth, new consciousness, and return to divine harmony, which is moving into higher states. This is, again, the D5 plus consciousness, rebuilding from sovereignty and truth rather than control, and humanity remembering its original design and divine potential. So the timeline of all of this, which... it's less about a singular end of the world and more about the end of a cycle, the death of the old paradigm, so the new can emerge. Right now, the collective has experienced revelation energy, mass disclosure, power struggles, and personal upheaval. But in that, there's also the opportunity to choose alignment, truth, and creation over fear and collapse. Revelation energy doesn't follow a linear timeline, but rather a cyclical and fractal one. It's been unfolding in waves throughout history with acceleration points where collective consciousness reaches a threshold. Here's how it seems to be playing out now, based on what you want to know, which is what I had asked. Like, where is humanity headed and what do I need to know? That was the question that I literally asked, like, my highest intelligence, and this is the information that came through. That's why I wrote it down kind of exactly as it was, and I'm sharing it to you that way. So macro timeline collective shift. Pre to 2012, the foundational cracks begin. Spiritual awakening, questioning systems, rise of alternative perspectives. 2012 to 2020 was the acceleration of awareness, the rise of AI, and mass psychological shifts, increased polarization. 20 to 25, the Great Divide. Those who choose sovereignty versus those who remain entangled in the illusion. Systems begin visibly breaking down. 2025 to 2030, a rapid restructuring. Either a tighter control grid, beast system, or a mass breakaway into decentralized high-frequency living. Frequency-first living. Hitler. 2030 and beyond, the emergence of this new Earth timeline, or what I'm saying, this new nervous system experience, and organic consciousness expansion depending on the collective choices. and then the convergence point for this. So you have the disruption, which is kind of these major events and the shakes in the foundation, exposure, the ego death phase, which I'm talking about, it's really an ego reassignment phase. The ego is usually in front of the higher consciousness self. It needs to move into the back as a motor and a motivator. And then you've got the reconstruction and then the embodiment phase. And so I see this conversion point for many of us moving into 27 and 28. So we'll see how that pans out. But I just, was remembering that that was a heads up so long ago. But very cool, and feeling like it's kind of all coming full circle now. So we're moving to the end of hierarchical control, and anyone who feels like these, you know, they need to have a bigger platform, or they have to have a certain level of impact, it's going to come in different ways. Community-based, where you're not going to have to do it alone. Different solutions are becoming available for us. We're going to get different waves that are going to propel us in different ways. So different waves propelling us in different ways. So I very much am looking forward to seeing how that shapes itself up. Okay, you guys, thanks for hanging out with me for this podcast. I always love answering your questions in the comments. And for those who are interested in going a little bit deeper, please check the website for the Field Hub, which is humming right along. It's fantastic. It's a call a month. You've got the entire shop access, weekly support posts, tons of resources, great replay calls, and a really tight and moving very quickly community. The Pattern Lab is my newer launch, and it's also an advanced membership where people can really, really get into the mechanics and the recursive architecture of their behavior for sustainable change. Again, getting at that origin level substrate to be able to collapse pattern at its origin without having to repeat what you don't complete. And it's going to be interactive and live with me. So the first part of it is going to be a meditation on a topic, kind of a primer, and then move through the clearing together. And then we're going to be interactive, and you're going to bring the patterns that you're working through, and we're going to workshop it together as a group. So there's a couple more positions available there. The group is going to be tight to start, and then we'll expand from there. So thank you so much for hanging out with me, and I will speak to you when I speak to you next, either in sessions, in the group, or in a couple weeks on the cast. All right, you guys, take care.